many times have I gone to the grocery store only to call up Livia and say, "What am I here for again?" How many times have I decided that tomorrow will be the day I forego dessert, only to forget as soon as Denny shows up in the office, offering me the best shortbread of my life? How many times have I promised that I would be more honest with my mom about how I worry for her, and yet years have passed, and I keep forgetting to bring it up? We are by nature a forgetful species. In the Quran, the word for human being is insan, whose root word means to forget. Islam believes that human nature is one of innate forgetfulness, hence the commandment of salat, or five times daily prayer. With each prostration, we are reminded of that which is of ultimate importance, our actions in the service of and under the eyes of God. The Jesuits, too, found that they were quick to forget the presence of God in our lives, so they gave us the St. Ignatian Examen, a daily prayer practice in which we review the day's events moment by moment, searching for God at work in the minutiae of life. Never forget the banners wave as we contemplate 9/11. We have been at war since I was 13. In this instance, never forget feels less like a commandment of ultimate importance and more like the drumbeat of imperialism. Never forget is also invoked by Holocaust survivors, the last of whom approaches death all too soon. The last living firsthand memories of events we would do well to never, ever forget. So memory is powerful, and it is a tool. It is a tool by which we might behave better, an ethical guardrail. We want others to remember us well. We want others to have fond memories of our time together. We want others to recall that we treated them fairly, that we stood up for what was right. Memory can be a motivator to live in accordance with our knowing our actions outlive our physical presence in the lives of others. But we also crave to remember ourselves well. During my rotation as a hospital chaplain, I was overcome with the potency of the memories we carry around of ourselves. When we felt we had lived well, and when we felt we had let others down. Those whose memories were filled with regret, they could be a gnawing ache that could never be dulled. Memory is our inborn system of accountability. Those in recovery know something about this fearless moral inventory, the calculus of rights and wrongs that force us to reckon with the harm we have caused and the motivation to do better. Scientists have been confounded by the complexity of memory. A purely evolutionary explanation might suggest that we only have memory so that we might survive another day. The fire burned me last time, do not touch it. The dog bit me last time, give it a wide berth. But the complexity of memory means I find this explanation inadequate. I have been burned more than once and bitten more than twice. And besides, where there is memory, there is transcendence. Memory is our vehicle for time travel. It is a multifaceted prism which bends the light in our lives and hurdles us back hours, days, years towards events that have long since been over. Memories weave and bob, avoiding our gaze but staying in our periphery as an ever-present companion on this mortal journey. We make memories in the present, aware in the moment of how we will recall them in the future. The transcendental nature of memory calls forth how we are made to be in relation. Memory is sustained and fed by the presence of others. A friendship, the purest of bonds forged solely out of choice, is built upon memory of making one another laugh, making one another feel seen and heard. And relationships are success of making new memories, trying a new restaurant together, challenging one another to go for the promotion. The same is true here as well. We need one another to jog our memories. Why are we here again? Oh, yes, because your presence is a balm in my life. This place is a balm in my life. Troublingly, our lives are increasingly dotted with technologies which fill in for these human roles. We have Siri to remind us and Alexa to prompt us. We use our phones for navigation when we used to remember landmarks. We use Google when we used to recall wisdom gleaned from books and ancestral sayings. And perhaps most destabilizing of all is that these machines do have memory. They are able to remember and predict. They are able to learn, to adapt to our previous requests, our previous queries, so they might better anticipate our needs in the future. This kind of artificial intelligence demands a new examination of what it means to be human, since I think of memory and humanity as inextricably bound. Of all things, it was the HBO series Westworld which brought me to the seed of inspiration for today's sermon. The premise of the show revolves around luxury amusement parks in which guests can participate in elaborate and dramatic storylines that are staffed and carried out by robots. Robots so convincingly real that tourists are able to enact fantasies they would never follow through on in reality. There are no human consequences to their violence and betrayal there. It all hinges on the crucial fact that the robots do not have memory. They awake each morning as blank slates, unable to recall the horrors they witnessed or were subject to in the previous day. But when the robots begin to remember when their slates are no longer wiped clean, they have painful recollections of what they have endured. They gain a form of consciousness that calls into question what we owe things that are neither alive nor unalive. I have often laughed when my parents say please and thank you when talking to Alexa. There's a kind of rote inclusion of these phrases that suggests they are literally the most polite people on the planet. But I am also left to wonder who or what deserve these manners. Is memory the thing that makes a what a who? If Alexa can recall the last recipes we needed, can tell us a new genre of music we like, or dim the lights to create better ambiance, am I callous to assume she needn't be addressed with deference? I have to think not. I have to think that in my discomfort with the pleases and thank yous accorded Alexa, I am safeguarding the precious definition of what it means to be human. And not human as solely defined by memory, but human because we remember and then we feel. As I take stock amidst the rising tide of artificial intelligence of what makes a human human, I am often left with more questions than answers. Surely something lies in the birth, our shared traverse from our mothers into the light. This is how life is made, not through welding or soldering or coding. And something lies in our death, the slow decay of organs and biological processes which lead us inexorably toward total finitude, which cannot be copied or uploaded or saved for later use. But surely, as much as death and birth can be explained by the presence of this prismatic pearl we call memory. There's no doubt that memories serve a purpose, just as they do with Alexa and Siri, to force us to consider how past actions might predict or affect future ones. But memory is about more than purpose. It is about more than prediction. A luxury available to us at no cost. Memories are our personal treasure trove, a personal archive of experiences from which to draw inspiration, from which to draw comfort, and to be reminded of the love we have given and received in our lifetimes. Memories like these can be so visceral, can be so evocative that we are transported. a bottle of Johnson & Johnson's baby shampoo is opened, and suddenly we might be wrapped up in the bath towel by our grandmothers, the smell of suds so vivid in our mind that we feel small and strong and safe again. Memory for the sake of recalling when you emerged from the plane and the air was hot and humid and smelled of gasoline and the tarmac moved and you almost tripped coming down the stairs with anticipation and excitement. Memory for the sake of a private laugh, the way I remember how my sister performed at a talent show in the fourth grade by hula hooping and dribbling a basketball simultaneously. The emotional core of our lives are memories. And while I have listed some that are poignant and sweet, memories can also be painful. They can be heavy loads to bear that weigh us down like oil on feathers, preventing us from taking to the sky alongside our gaggle. Memories can be tucked away deep in the crevices of our souls, hidden from sight and touch and taste and feel, to return to dust and ashes when our form does too. Memories can be submerged, near drowned, rising in the form, break the surface, and take our breath away with their unwelcome presence. We can be haunted by memories. But we cannot be erased. We cannot be wiped clean. We cannot be saved for future use, and our memories are souvenirs we collect along the way of living our lives. We collect memories so that we might know ourselves more fully, so we might participate more joyfully, be more grateful for the day, so we might find companionship when we used to curse loneliness. I know in my bones that to have memory is to be human. And not memory for the sake of usefulness, not memory for the sake of improvement or servility, memory for the sake of the texture it adds to our lives, the depth and tone it adds to the songs we sing, the foods we eat, the plants we harvest, to the children we raise and the parents we honor. Memories are the ties that bind. The Swedish philosopher Nick Bostrom has focused much of his life's work on the trajectory of artificial intelligence to overcome human capacity to constrain it. But he believes that, quote, machine intelligences, no matter how flexible in their tactics, will likely be rigidly fixated on their ultimate goals. Rigidly fixated on their ultimate goals, zeroed in on accomplishment or execution of tasks. Our lives, in contrast, are not rigidly fixated on our ultimate goals. They shimmer with forgetfulness, and they reflect our desire to take risks and break free from convention. They are an unpredictable and winding narrative, and our memories serve as guideposts and treasure maps. They serve to remind us that we have lived lives that transcend time and space, which can never be quantified by an algorithm. May our memories recall the humanity of lived experience, the sour alongside the sweet, the rough alongside the soft. May we laugh when we forget, knowing it is all too human. And may we remember those who loved us well, fought for us, and sacrificed so we might be here today amongst one another. Amen.
Pavement. Has the moon lost her memory? She is smiling alone. In the lamplight, the withered leaves collect at my feet, and the wind begins to moan. Memory, all alone in the moonlight, I can dream of the old days. I was beautiful then. I remember the time I knew what happiness was. Let the memory live again. Every street lamp seemed to beat a fatalistic warning. Someone mutters and a street lamp gutters, and soon it will be morning. Daylight, I must look for the sunrise. I must look for a new life, and I mustn't give in. When the dawn comes, tonight will be a memory too, and a new day will begin.